Welcome to Gangqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And we want to thank you all again for joining us this week as we take in the wonderful world of LGBT news.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're going to do that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk gay stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't want to hear two old homos talking about gay stuff, you've tuned into the wrong show.
That's O-L apostrophe, not O-L-D.
Too old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. We're not that old. Yeah. Weirdly, people seem quite old.
Well, they think you're 10 years older than me.
That's true.
I'm in my late 20s.
I'm 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
It's my wisdom and my age. Yeah, it's apparently. My British dulcet tones have... Dulcet's not a compliment, is it?
No. I don't know.
Whatever. My British tonage has the air of wisdom.
So can I share why I'm so exhausted right now?
Why are you so exhausted right now? What's his name?
Because last night I went to my very first athletics event.
You went to a sports.
I did not go to a sports because it's not technically a sport, but it is athletic.
Okay.
I went to see live pro wrestling. And I had a very good time. I got to meet Joey Ryan, who's sort of like currently the king of the comedy wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
He does this shtick where he always walks in with like a lollipop in his mouth, and then he puts the lollipop down his pants, and that gives him magic sticking powers. So if anybody grabs his crotch, he can manipulate them with his magic Joey Ryan thrust. And it is hilarious, and I got to shake his hand, and I told him that he's the Jackie Chan of wrestling, and he seemed flattered by that. But there was a local act that was hilarious. And for the longest time, I thought it was like four people coming out to wrestle each other, but it wasn't. It was one guy and his little crew, and it was a guy in a luchador mask, and he had three other guys wearing like black luchador masks and leather pants. And it just looked like, at first I was like, this looks like a master and three gimps. But then when they got on stage, the three like shirtless dudes just like locked together and became a throne, and he sat on them. And I was like, I actually asked the person next to me, he's like, is this meant to be homoerotic? And they're like, yeah, no, he's a local guy. It's exactly what it looks like.
That's hilarious.
Okay. And he like slapped them on the butt as they left the ring so that he could wrestle. And it was just like, it was kind of endearing. It's a good thing to see the local talent.
I think what we're seeing is the world of mixed martial arts and wrestling and bodybuilding, these sort of very, very straight sports.
Well, I mean, pro wrestling is a soap opera where the drama is told through suplexes instead of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the famous byline is that it's not faked, it's pre-scripted. There's a difference. And people are like, oh, it's fake. Well, you know, so is John Wick. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy it. It's just the difference is that it's a live performance. It's like, what if you could see Die Hard live?
There's a theater to it.
Yeah, there's a theater. That's the point. And the entire history of it. Actually, one of the first famous American acts was, his name was Gorgeous George. And this was in the 50s. And he played an eccentric gay man. And he was like the original heel. So like the original villain of American pro wrestling. And he played up on the audience's homophobia as a part of his act. And it was a wonderful act. I've seen a couple of recordings of his old matches. So somewhere out there in the world, there's people who are like, why are you talking about pro wrestling? And there's someone who's like, he knows Gorgeous George! And by the way, Hackenschmidt was a gorgeous man.
Mm.
He was a wrestler from like 1905 or something.
I want to talk about is, there was a news story about a week or two ago.
But the NFL player?
No.
Okay.
It is depressing how much news we read for this job.
Yeah.
Like, we read a ridiculous amount of news. And one of the stories that
we read the title in the first paragraph of a lot of things. Because you read the title, and you're like, oh, and then you read the first paragraph, and you're like,
yeah.
Some editor ruined it. Like, there's so many journalists out there who do good work, and then an editor comes along and slaps a title that has nothing to do with the story.
Oh, the other way around is, if I had a dollar for every time the title summed up the following 900 words,
yeah,
and you don't learn anything else from the 900 words,
yeah.
You can't get that back. That's time in my life I can't get back. But what I do want to mention to our listeners is, a couple of weeks ago there was a story about emerging LGBT talent in the pro wrestling world.
Are you talking about Exoticos? Because they've been there since the 70s.
No, like mixed martial arts.
Oh, okay.
Sort of professional fighting world.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it's kind of, it's an interesting space where they're out, they're not taking no grief. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's sort of normalizing LGBT people in these spaces. Because at the end of the day,
yeah.
if you're going to, you know, jump from the side of the ropes with the chair and what the theatricals of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, later on, you know, 9 hours later when, or 3 or 4 hours later when you go to bed, yeah. the person next to you is irrelevant to how you perform on stage. You know, if your stage is a ring in this case.
Well, it might be the three guys you're on stage with.
That's, well, in that case.
I mean, I don't know, yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't matter. And I think, you know, me and my mum, her position on LGBT people is that, you know, why do we need a parade? Why do we need all the fuss? Like, it's not... She doesn't quite understand why I do a gay radio show.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of coming around to that perspective a little bit. Because why...
There's the historical context and the modern context. Like, in the 90s, it was super relevant. In the 80s, it was definitely super relevant. I think it's falling out of relevance, but to say that it's not relevant at all, or it never was, I don't think that's honest.
Yeah, but I think if we're seeing gay guys doing MMA...
Yeah.
Whatever, we see straight guys doing MMA.
None of that surprises me, though. Like, a lot of small, weak, bullied LGBT people take martial arts to learn how to protect themselves, or at least to feel more confident, and then they discover they're good at it, and then they make a career out of it, and you can easily become a multimillionaire by doing professional sports. Like, look at Mike Tyson, who literally has so much money, he cannot, like, his accountant keeps finding money that he forgot he had. Like, it's, you can easily become profoundly rich just by being really good at taking a punch to the face. And there's a lot of people who they just take, you know, judo or taekwondo, or they do pro wrestling just to build confidence, make friends, blah blah blah, discover they're good at it. Why yeah. not go for and it?
I think it's right. I think, you know, it is. We talked before about how LGBT people who have faith, be them Christian, Muslim, Hindu, whatever.
Yeah.
It's important that everyone has an opportunity to share their faith with God.
Yeah.
And I think that likewise, it's everyone should have the opportunity to build up self-confidence taking Taekwondo
yeah.
or, you know, learn mindfulness doing Tai Chi or, you know, whatever it is that you chose to do. I think everyone should have the opportunity to do it.
I mean, I learned applied Tai Chi. I learned how to actually use Tai Chi in a fight. There is such a thing. It does exist.
I will believe that. You want to do that French fighting style.
Oh, no, I am.
Where it requires high heels.
If you are over the age, it's learning, not Sistema. Sistema is the retro. Yeah. Sistema is Russian and you not cravat. Cravat means a tie. Cravat is actually the French word for Croatian.
Oh.
Because ties were invented by Croatians.
The more you know.
Because they didn't have buttons. That's how they kept the collar shut, by tying a bow. Anyway, doesn't matter. Savat. Savat is the French one. Just like gymnastics.
Mm.
If you start learning it over the age of 22, you're never going to master it. It is a very...
Way to build up my confidence, bro.
Well, like, it's... Well, you know, like, you know how they say you're never too old to do anything? It's like, if you are 17... and you're just starting gymnastics, you are too old to get an Olympic medal. Like, you need to start when you're 10. Like, it's it's kind of heartbreaking. There are certain things
Olympic level.
Yeah.
And it's the same for most sports.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about basketball players and baseball players and hockey players retiring at, like, 27 or something. And it's like,
occasionally hear about people who get brought in their mid-20s, but that, like, football... American football, famously, you get people who start their careers in their late 20s, but that's because they only started playing football at like 22 or something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people who retire at 27, they've been playing all since high school, and they just already have a lifetime worth of injuries, and they cannot go on, and they have to retire. So if you start later in life, you can retire later in life. But that's a completely separate conversation.
Now, there is an opportunity that came up, and I was tempted... Hear me out.
To play rugby?
I love rugby. It's so hands-on, and there's the prop and the hooker, and it's just...
But then I see their ears, and I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah.
They got the cauliflower problem, yeah.
Ears don't do so well.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking about doing, and this was a passing fancy of mine, is running away with the circus.
Is this a bad transition to
story? No. So, Cirque du Soleil.
Because your transitions are the worst.
Cirque du Soleil is in town.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been looking at going to the Alegria performance. The Big Top is up nearby. The Cirque du Soleil Allegro moves all over the country. If you check them out, I'm sure you can find them coming relatively near you. And they have open auditions in Montreal.
Okay.
And I'm like, ooh, except they listed all the things that they're looking for.
Yeah, musicians, acrobats,
singing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Do you know the...
I can collect tickets.
Cirque du Soleil is always looking for accordion players. They rarely have a sufficient number of accordion players for all of their performances.
That reminds me of like the Lemon Bucket Orchestra.
I know! It's so great.
Check them out, folks.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump to the first song. But before we do, I want to talk about...
Should we do one short story?
Yeah, I don't want to put too much time on this. Okay. I want to talk about Katy Perry.
Oh, God.
Because although one time she kissed a girl and she liked it, she's done other things to both, allegedly done things to both men and women.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it.
Yeah.
No, they did not like it.
And to be clear, she did not write that song. A professional songwriter wrote that song. That's the same, the guy who wrote I Kissed a Girl is the same guy that made Robin, the Swedish singer, quit the studio and go independent. So, I mean, like, that's... There's a thing going on here.
So Katy Perry is accused by the video co-star from one of her videos.
Yep.
Apparently they were recording and she came up and yanked on his sweatpants, revealing his
genitalia. Him. Yeah.
Yeah, she pantsed him.
Not during a recording, but at a house party, and it was in front of like a room full of people.
Yeah.
And like, this is
all of her friends and they're all giggling and laughing about it, and the guy's like, what the actual...
You don't do that.
Yeah, who does that?
Well, I mean, if he had done that to himself, he would have been arrested for indecent exposure.
Exactly, yeah. If he'd have done that to her, oh my God, can you imagine?
And he's the third man to come forward with an official complaint, and I think there's two women who've said things about Katy Perry. There is a bit of criticism of the double standard that... I mean, men should get, you know, their feet held to the coals when they do things that are bad.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know.
There are a lot of men whose behavior is
but this,
just reprehensible.
This is not a zero-sum game. It's not like, you know, by holding women to good standards, it doesn't mean you have to lower the standards for men.
Yeah.
You know, you can just across the board say inappropriate is inappropriate. It actually reminds me of a quote that I came across recently, which is that there was somebody who was looking at Reagan's horrible behavior during the 80s, and his analysis of Reagan's career critiqued the statement that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And he said, if you look at back before Reagan had power, he was already kind of shifty and willing to cheat the system and blah, blah, blah. And he said, power doesn't corrupt, it reveals. When good people become rich and powerful, they're still good people. Mm. When good people become rich and powerful and they become bad people, they're not becoming bad people. They can now get away with not faking it anymore. Mm. So, like, when you're in a position where you could get away with it, but you choose to not do something bad anyway, that's like the ultimate sign of being a good person, that you do have the power. And I think one of the reasons why historically men have been way more worse than women is because men have had way more power historically.
Yeah, they could get away with it.
Yeah.
And now it's just not acceptable.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the dark side of equity and equality, that as women gain more power, we're going to see more women doing more bad things. And it's almost like a litmus test. You can tell that women are starting to do better because women are starting to do bad things.
Some women. In positions of power. Much like men in positions of power.
Like there was the case last year of the politician, I cannot remember her name, who was like sexually harassing her employees. Mm. Do you remember that story? I wish I could remember.
There was another actress, I forget who it was, but her assistant resigned because she kept referring to him as her little homo.
Yes, that was Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she got famous for a whole bunch of stuff.
But my question for you before we move to a song is, Is the media coverage of this, you know, women behaving badly,
yeah,
overblown? You know, are we diverting attention from all of the men that are behaving badly?
Everything, every article that I've read about this story in particular is more focused on the fact that other media sources aren't talking about it. Like, I'm reading articles by, well, commentators, really, because the journalism has already been done. Commentators saying, why aren't people talking about this? And there's less about the actual journalism, like the following things have confirmed and, you know, the following, you know, it's nothing new is coming up. Like, in a tweet 3 weeks ago, that was all the information you needed for the story. And ever since then, it's just been commentary. And there's been a lot of commentary about the lack of commentary. Like, everything that I've seen about the TV show Preacher is commentators saying, why aren't people talking about Preacher? Very little information about the show itself. And the same thing's happening with Katy Perry. And it's more about the lack of story than it is the story itself. And I think, like, we're doing it right now. Like, we're talking about the fact that very few people are talking about it. And I think it's one of those things where, like, if there was wrongdoing done, like, if you're going to cover celebrity news at all, like, this is just, you know, this is TMZ, bottom of the barrel, gossip nonsense. Until she goes to prison, this is just gossip. If you care about that kind of thing at all, then you ought to care about this as well.
Yeah.
I don't care about celebrity gossip until they go to prison, you know? So at this point in time, I am pretty uninterested in it, but I do think it deserves the same coverage as, you know, when a male celebrity gets grabby, and there's more than a couple of those.
That's very true.
So
anyways, we're going to jump to our first song. This is Pick Me Up by the Robot Apocalypse, which is a sort of amalgamation of all kinds of people.
I think the word you're looking for is collective.
I think mishmash also works. It's a mishmash of folks who come and create songs.
Yeah, from a half dozen different bands, and they get together now and then.
So this is Robot Collective with Pick Me Up, and we'll be back just after this. Home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And
minor correction, before we went away, you called them Robot Collective.
It's Robot Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. And they are a collective. Like, Broken Social Scene is a collective.
Now, earlier, way back, cast your mind back to the start of the show where we talked about, I was asking, you know, what's the point in being a dick to someone who's gay and going into MMA? Like, you know, who you sleep with is irrelevant. And we see,
I mean, if anything else, your opponent is going to get paid a lot of money to punch you in the face after you say homophobic things to them.
Yeah. Like,
you're just...
Yeah, no, it's not...
You're asking for comeuppance on camera, yeah.
Now, the reason why I mention this is because there's been a couple of things that have happened in our communities where I'm like, why? What do you gain from this? So for our listeners over in Canoe FM over at Halliburton, As you folks may know, we're syndicated all over the country. And one of the people that carries our show is Halliburton, which is very close to Minden. I think our radio signal reaches Minden.
And hello, Minden.
Hello, Minden. And everywhere else where the Canadians may be listening. We actually podcast. You can find us on the Spotify and on the Podbean.
Yes. We could talk about podcasts at the end of the show.
You could be listening to us on the loo. Yeah. Knows? But anyway, yeah. So Minden has their Pride August 19th to 25th, so the week that you're hearing us.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited about that to be taking place because small community prides, we've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
They are our favorites. Yeah. We love little prides.
Oh, yeah.
We think they're amazing. There's actually a really good news story that I'm going to pivot into at the end of this. But they put a nice big sign up in the community over a nice little bridge, very picturesque,
mm-hmm.
little stream running, little river underneath, very sort of photograph wedding couples looking bridge. It's beautiful.
And an old stone bridge kind of thing.
Well, no, it's a wooden bridge. Oh, okay. It's like, you know.
Is it a covered wooden bridge?
No,
it's not. Oh, no, it's a footbridge.
Yeah, it's a footbridge.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, it looks nice. It's over the Gull River. And it is the Loggers Bridge.
Okay.
Now, it's a basic sign, kind of a vista print kind of sign. Minden Pride,
yeah.
August 19th to whenever it is, 7 days from then.
Grommeted Vinyl, I think it's.
Yeah. Grommeted Vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good name for a band. Grommeted Vinyl. You know what I mean? It's like.
All right.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna. If anyone wants to call themselves Grommeted Vinyl, you get in touch.
All right.
I'll patent that. But no, it's basic sign.
Yeah.
Somebody ripped it, tore it down.
Do they know for sure that it got torn down and it didn't just like, they didn't secure it properly and it fell off?
Because the good folks at the town of Minden fixed it, put it back up.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Great folks at Minden.
Did they use zip ties? If you're using grommeted vinyl, you may as well use zip ties.
They secured it to the fence. I don't think they didn't tie it with a bit of like,
paper,
like Twizzlers or chocolate, stringy chocolate, and you know, that'll melt in the sun. Like, it was secured.
Okay,
I don't know why I went with like cheap chocolate Twizzlers.
Twizzlers are mostly wheat, I can't eat them. Yeah, they make me sick. So sad. I know.
I was trying to think of like you know, useless as a chocolate kettle, but you don't get chocolate string, you know? Well,
no,
I mean?
Because if it's tempered chocolate, it would be brittle.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. But anyway, somebody about this sign. Tell me about the sign.
So a second time, somebody either stole it or tore it down.
Mm.
Or either way, it's not on the bridge no more.
Yeah.
And the folks at Minden Pride are thinking, you know what? If benefit of the doubt,
yeah.
It maybe fell. I'm using air quotes here. You can't see it. Fell off the bridge.
Can confirm. He just used air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which nobody believes.
Yeah.
But the idea is, you know, if you saw it floating down the Gull River, let us know. We'll wipe the seaweed off and we'll stick it back up.
Yeah.
You know. And this is what the point I want to get to is why?
Yeah.
Why go through the hassle of cutting down a sign that just lets people know if you don't want to go to Pride, don't go. Go to Wild Wing. Stay at
That's
home.
Fair enough.
Go to the pub. There's a million things you can do.
Did you just say go and get hot wings instead?
Go to Wild Wing. Oh. Yeah. So okay. Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
But my point is, if you don't want to go to Pride with all of the gays, don't go.
I mean, you know that I would, depending on what's going on, rather go for wings than go to Pride.
Absolutely.
Even I would rather go for wings than go to Pride.
As the official,
depends on the event, though. There's some events.
Official spokespeople of all gays everywhere. Sometimes Wild Wings is a
sometimes
better
wings and beer is a better use of your time. It depends on the event.
Actually, the Queers for Beers event is.
Oh, we haven't been to that in a long time.
So in Ottawa, there's an event called Queers for Beers, and it is literally it's just an after work drinks thing.
Yeah. In Ottawa, there's a local cultural thing called the 5 à 7, and for those of you who don't speak French, that's 5 to 7, and it's. Almost every day after work, government workers will just flood all the pubs in the Centretown area, Centretown being the neighborhood surrounding Parliament, and they'll just hang out for like a couple hours after work before going home. A lot of the pubs, you cannot get a seat between 5 and 7 because the 5 à 7 are there. But yeah, no, there is a brewery with a pub attached. There's actually multiple breweries with mm-hmm. pubs attached in Ottawa. This is definitely a microbrewer's town. So if you don't like undrinkably hoppy beer, then Ottawa is not the city for you.
Not all of the beers are drinkably hoppy. But what I like about Queers for Beers is a few years ago, they were like, let's just have an after work event and see who shows up.
Yeah.
And I went there to interview them about it. And they had three or four board games. And Dylan was telling me, oh my God, I didn't bring that many board games.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have enough.
Yeah.
And then 200 people showed up.
Uh-huh.
And it drank the brewery dry.
Uh-huh.
They had to send people home. I'm sorry, we've run out of booze.
Yeah.
Like, you need to leave. And they've been going for a few years now, and every time they have an event, people just flock to it.
I mean, we
it's
could also
social low-key environment.
This ties into a different discussion that we could probably get into a depth another day about the death of the gay bar and the sort of rising star of events that, you know, the community doesn't come together in the same way that it used to enough to support a bar, but enough to, like, definitely the events.
But the Queers for Beers is hanging out at a bar.
Yeah.
But the difference is you don't have a drag queen with the makeup melting off their face and the background music going...
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that, thank God, because you can only take
so much. Well, the Centretown Pub.
They was back on that. Yeah. Anyways, back to Minden.
Back to Minden.
My whole point here
is, Minden,
if you don't want to look at this sign and you don't want to go to Pride, stay home. Go to a bar. Eat pizza. Whatever. Do your own business.
Yeah.
Because we're not dragging you out to the Pride parades. We don't have like a lasso and we're catching passers-by. You know, Pride parades aren't like proactive recruitment regimes.
I mean, there are people who think that that is what's going on, that it is a recruitment thing.
No, it's about, you know what, in Minden, it's a nice area, and the folks who live there who are gay, and there are gay people that live there, maybe a surprise, but the folks who live there are gay, just want to come together in a group and celebrate the fact that, you know, they can get married, that they can have children.
Yeah.
You know, in Russia, there are gay families fleeing the country because their foster children are being taken away because homosexuals may promote homosexuality to their children.
Yeah.
But we don't have that in Canada, thank God. And it's just a chance to celebrate. And if you don't want to do that, stay home.
Yeah.
So why tear down a sign? What harm is this sign that's an infomercial on grommeted vinyl doing to somebody? You know what I mean? It's like, what's the point? And I don't get it.
I mean, I don't know, zip ties. I think it might be just a thing of opportunity. Like, if it's up with, like, plastic twine, which anyone with a pocket knife could take down in 3 seconds, like, on the one...
But why bother?
I don't know.
You know, so our listeners in Minden, if you know anything about it, and maybe know the whereabouts of the sign, just let the organizers of the Pride Committee know. And you just let the local town council know. They've been a really great help in this. And just ask yourselves, why did somebody burn a calorie to go do that? Like, what does that achieve? Now, somebody else burned a calorie in Calgary for a useless purpose. And they graffitied over the top of a Pride crosswalk.
Okay.
Now, we have talked at length about Pride crosswalks.
Oh, yes. Because
they are popping up like, I don't know, like a fad almost. They're everywhere. The first one in the UK, one of the first ones in the UK, at least the first one in London, was opened up in Lambeth Place in the UK, in London.
Right.
Just last week. It's the first permanent crosswalk. And in Calgary, the community there had a crosswalk built. Now, I actually prefer what you have in like some parts of Davie Village and the Bank Street and stuff, which are murals, which are clearly gay, but they commemorate something important. You know what I mean? In Ottawa, we have the We Demand mural, which was when the community protested and had a list of demands for the government.
Right, yeah.
You know, and there's a few other ones like that. I actually personally prefer, like, if you're going to paint something,
go a bit
above and beyond.
I have a soft spot for mural art just because I spent so much of my life in Hamilton, and Hamilton is a very good city for murals.
I mean, Montreal, oh my days.
They have a mural competition
in
Hamilton, and then the winner gets to actually, like, there's somebody who donates a wall and they get to actually put their thing on display. There's beautiful murals all over Hamilton. Some of it's graffiti, some of it's more traditional style. It varies a great deal, but I'm all for murals. Like, why have bare brick staring at nothing when you could have, like, you know, a thing there of some kind?
A beautiful thing, yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, I think if you're going to paint the thing, make a beautiful mural.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, not everyone can make beautiful murals. And what a rainbow crosswalk achieves is a clear as day sign that in this city, LGBT folks are just like everybody else. We're not going to round them up. We're not going to discriminate. They are valued citizens.
I think it makes more sense if the rainbow crosswalk is in,
like, a gay area,
a village or a community, which are dying, but a lot of that has to do with economic forces.
Yeah.
But if you put it, like, in front of City Hall, you know, and in front of City Hall across the street, there's, like, the Board of Education or something like that. It's like a bureaucratic area. Mm. It has a very different feel than if it's in, like, the part where the shops and the bars are. But I mean, this is just a debate about where you would put a crosswalk if you're going to put a crosswalk anywhere.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We do believe that pride crosswalks are important.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we both agreed if you're going to paint a thing, make a mural a bit nicer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Be strategic about where you do it. Don't just slap it down anywhere, because then it just looks like optics and, like, you're trying to come across as woke and you don't actually care about the issue, you know? But so how did they graffiti it? What was involved?
So on Sunday, July 21st, I think, 27th, the word "lost" was graffitied onto the trans pride flag crosswalk.
Lost.
And then the "lust" was graffitied onto the pride flag. So kind of like they're all lustful people. And trans folks are just lost and confused, I suppose. Either that or they're referring to that awful TV show that I never watched, and apparently it was all a dream in the end anyway.
So. Yeah, no, it was just like Game of Thrones. Like, it was a great show until you got to the end. Like, I'm never going to rewatch Lost as much as I enjoyed watching it. A lot of people have been saying they're never going to rewatch Game of Thrones, even though they love the first couple seasons. Just knowing how it ends is not worth it. But anyway, I don't know. Like, that's not great. That said, so, I mean, there are trans people who would do that to their own trans crosswalk, and there's definitely gay people who would graffiti lust across their own stuff.
Yeah, but not a public crosswalk.
It's probably not an internal criticism.
No. And these crosswalks are, you know, it's a public crosswalk. It's sort of collectively owned by everyone in the community.
And the taxpayer is going to be the one who cleans it up.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Like, I think we were talking about it out east in the start of the summer where people kept graffitiing the crosswalks there. And they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We still have to pay to repaint the blasted thing.
Why are you,
and this goes back to cutting down the sign. Why are you burning a calorie to do this? Like, what is wrong with you? So in Calgary, it is vandalism. Now, Mr. Plant, as a man that works with the Ottawa Police Service, what is a hate crime?
A hate crime, as it's defined in Canada, there are three crimes only that are just called hate crime. Otherwise, it is a crime with a hate motivation. So if you gay bash someone, really it is assault or aggravated assault plus a hate motivation. The only crimes that are pure hate crimes that are just listed under the heading of hate crimes, one is promoting... I was talking to a staff sergeant about this last week and he couldn't remember all three, but I know one of them is promoting genocide or promoting public harm. One is, I don't think denying it's, the Holocaust is no, one of them.
It's hate speech, inciting violence.
Hate speech, inciting violence, promoting violent action or promoting hateful action in others. And the last one is denying something or other. And I don't remember what the third one is. But the only hate crimes that are just hate crimes in Canada are, they have to do with speech and promoting and encouraging others to do harm. So the actual person who goes out with a baseball bat and hurts somebody, that is, you know, aggravated assault with a weapon plus a hate motivation. And it's usually just it affects the sentencing factor, because sometimes, you know, they go, you know, the punishment for this is 5 to 10 years, but if it's plus hate, they're gonna go at the upper end. It's gonna be closer to 10 and less close to 5.
You know, if you went around and smashed a window,
yeah,
and you smashed the window of 5 houses in a row,
yeah,
and not paying attention to who lives in those houses, then you'll be arrested and charged for smashing a window.
Yeah.
But if you smash the window of every Jewish person on that street, but nobody else, it's literally to make the Jewish folks feel unsafe.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be done for smashing windows and creating a fearful environment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, in Calgary, the Calgary police received an official report about this vandalism. And what they've said is, you know, some nutter hasn't gone around and written lost and lust
on every crosswalk.
And destiny and energy and vibes and whatever on every crosswalk.
Beyonce.
No. Yeah. He isn't, there isn't like this weird single word graffiti artist out there targeting public works. No. This was targeted to just two crosswalks.
Yeah.
And those two crosswalks were of significance and importance to the LGBT community. Yes. So they're like, it's targeted.
Yes.
And it is likely hate motivated.
Yes.
So the hate crimes coordinator of the Calgary Police is investigating. So if they catch somebody, who knows if they will.
Yeah.
They would be done, obviously, for vandalism within the sentencing factor of the hate motivation involved. Now, in Calgary, they're obviously quite saddened by this. It has got the community there back to the square one point of asking, do we need pride?
Mm.
Like, is this necessary? And I think even for folks in Minden in Ontario.
Don't let one idiot ruin your party.
And that's what they're saying. They're you know what? You know, this is one guy who, for some weird reason, burned an entire calorie just to do this. Yeah. We don't know why they're doing
this. If you're going to criticize, because there's a lot of internal criticism going on within the community about whether or not we need the following things. There's a list of things where, like, LGBT folks are like, I don't know if we need this anymore. But don't let this be a factor in that.
Mm. But what they are saying is that it shows that there's at least one person in this community that is adamant in vandalizing their what represents them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an act of aggression. It's an act of violence. Tearing down the sign that's just a grommeted infomercial, that's an act of, I'm not going to say violence, but that's a distinct act to send a message.
Yeah.
So that's why people march, not just to gather together, not just to have a sense of safe place together, but also to say, you know, you can tear down a grommeted vinyl signs. You can graffiti bits of paint, which are going to get repainted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're still here. Yeah. And we'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll be here the day after. I'll be the barista that serves you. I'll be the lawyer that works with you. Whatever. We're still here, and we're in the community. We're part of the community. So I think that's why pride is still important in these areas for sure.
I do remember years ago reading a joke article about how Alabama rounded up all the gays and shipped them out, and now nobody in the state has nice hairdos anymore. It is
imagine
that.
Imagine the haircuts.
I know.
All right, we're going to jump to a song. This is Jackson Reed with Restless Ones, and we'll be back.
We got this off the exchange.
We did get this off the exchange. Yeah. You remembered it, which I keep forgetting about.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Canqueo, home of Canada's Queer Media.
You forgot her name, didn't you?
I forgot her name.
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this?
I don't know.
It's a while. Anyway, well, that's who we are. We're the LGBT radio show that you are listening to. Thanks for tuning in and or taking the action of finding us on your favorite podcasting service. Fierté Canada Pride is the National Association of Pride Festivals.
Isn't it like one third of all pride festivals on earth are in Canada? It's something like that.
Grossly overestimated. So at last count...
have a lot of prides.
At last count, there's about 110 in Canada, at least that we're aware of. And in the world, there's about 1,100.
And I know,
so it is one in 10 prides.
Okay.
It's like there's... Where is it? It's like there's almost as many prides in Canada as there are gay people in the population. You know what I mean? It's like one in 10.
Well, I know we have half the world's fresh water, and they're in Quebec. There are.
So is there a you're suggesting there's a correlation between pride parades and fresh water?
I guess.
Fierté Canada Pride just got a whack load of money off the federal government.
Right.
Now, we talked before, way back in the December-ish, November-ish, when the budget came out,
okay,
that there was a whack load of money going to gay stuff all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't announced what gay stuff was getting the money in, like, in terms of who gets the receipts.
Yeah.
But major investment, I think it was like $20 million being put into LGBT organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it was $250,000, I want to say. Let me just pull it. I have it handy in my notes here. $250,000 is going to Fierté Canada Pride. Now, what this is going to be is micro grants to support small community pride, just like Minden.
Yeah.
You know, so they can buy a new grommeted vinyl sign.
Uh huh.
You know, and it's just, it's other things, you know, with these, we talked about Hamilton a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
About these violent protesters coming in and just, you know.
And violent anti-protesters, which is new.
Yeah.
I don't know how to process that.
But there was the nutter with a helmet. He was really anti-gay and he smashed people in the face with the hockey helmet. Just like, there are some nasty people out there whose only aim in life is to ruin a nice get-together around Pride. And there's security costs.
Yeah.
You know, because of those awful people, now all of these prides need to look at hiring private security. You know, and there's a cost. The jug of water so nobody dehydrates to death. It's little things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. I think that's a good use of community funds about supporting community events in different ways. And it also is being used to add to the infrastructure of Fierté Canada Pride. So their ability to help with the training. They already have a big national conference. So it's all kind of nice, lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't the only money that got put out. About $150,000 is going to the Rainbow Coalition for Refugees. Now, Canada is one of the biggest recipients in the world for taking in LGBT refugees.
We are number one, but we edge out in front of, I think it's either the Netherlands or Germany who's number two, and we don't beat them by much. But we are the number one recipient of LGBT refugees in the world.
You know, financially support them, but also culturally support them.
Yeah.
You know, that's Canadians banding together to help bring in new Canadians. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what this refugee group does, is that it specifically helps organizations which themselves are helping these little groupings of LGBT refugees. So that's one of them. The meat and potatoes of the money going is to LGBT centers of community.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like service centers, various trainings, support, etc. And there's $200,000 going over to the Two Spirited's In Motion Foundation, which helps to support capacity and resources available to two-spirited folks across the country.
That's okay.
It's the Indigenous identity, or the identity that's specific to the Indigenous communities.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a lot of money.
Yes.
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
And it's a part of that $20 million we mentioned before. And all very venerable purposes.
Yes.
Very, very good, jolly good purposes, you know. I mean, it very much falls under the sort of liberal spending on social values.
Yeah.
You know, remit. I don't know if you would see it out of the conservatives.
But your tone, the way that you're talking about this, feels like there's a but coming along.
When a gay radio show, there's always a but coming along.
Well, I mean, it depends.
And this is, it's the timing. It's the timing that's got me here.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot ignore the fact that we are a month or two away from the big federal election.
Yeah.
This is a lot of really good money going to really good causes.
But you know? It could all get canceled by November. Yes. You see, the thing is, it's one of those things where, like, the cynic in me is, if they really cared about this, they would have set the money aside 2.5-3 years ago, and then, like, at the start of the 4-year term, so that they could make sure that it happened as intended, as opposed to just dumping it out there at the last minute. It kind of feels almost like flipping a house, you know, when, like, people who live in a house and they treat it like garbage, and just when they want to move is the first time since they've moved in where they actually put paint on the walls just so they can sell it. Like, it kind of feels like that.
A little bit. Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
Or they, like, rent a couch, which you can do, just to sell the house, and they're just going to return it back afterwards.
So the Liberal government has done some things over the tenure.
Yeah.
Which has supported the gay,
like,
community.
Not to sell them short. They have done good things.
They've done some really good things.
But this kind...
This is a lot of money all at once in literally the dying of the light of this particular government. Not to say they won't come back in.
Yeah.
But in terms of this 4-year period, this really is a bit of a last hurrah.
I'm predicting a minority. A liberal minority is what I would say.
We're not in the game of predicting...
Yeah, no, I'm not putting money on it.
...political parties. But I just... Speaking of putting money on it, that's a lot of money to put out there. And it's... I don't know. It just smells a bit funny. Because we look at... Randy Boissonneau is this week presenting to the Edmonton City Council.
Right.
And he's trying to convince the Edmonton City Council to ban conversion therapy. Very laudable. Great.
Just Edmonton, though.
Wonderful, yeah, because he's a MP for Edmonton West, I think.
Oh, okay.
And so he's trying to get the city to ban conversion therapy. But when asked...
Is that a municipal level thing, though?
But when That's asked the many thing. Months ago, I mean, I think we talked last week about BC and a couple of other municipalities. I've been trying, I think it was the Attorney General of BC, was trying to tell the federal government that you need to make this federal crime.
Yeah.
You know, a criminal code issue.
Yeah.
And the liberals have been umming and ahhing about whether or not to deal with it, because about 4 or 5 months ago, Boissonneau, the MP for Edmonton West, or Edmonton East, he's one of the Edmonton MPs, I forget which one.
Yeah.
But he tweeted out that conversion therapy is awful.
Yeah.
Everyone's agreed there. And they're working with the provinces and the municipalities to sort it out.
Yeah.
With no promises of the federal government actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit, you know, one side, you're like, we're not going to do anything. It's a provincial issue.
Yeah.
And then you show up at your local council being like, you really need to get on that.
But I mean, there's a lot of things like that. Like, you're not allowed to sell counterfeit pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. That's a federal crime. But it's up to the provinces to monitor counterfeit pharmaceuticals. So, I mean, you can have things that are, you know, federal level criminal code where it's the provinces who monitor them. Same thing with education. You know, every child under a certain age has to be in school, but it's up to the provinces to monitor that. So, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's very disingenuous.
Well, it has the smell of it.
Yeah.
The smell of disingenuity.
I'm willing to accept that as a word.
I'm going
to
go with that.
Yeah.
But the last story I want to talk about is a pretty big story. It hit international news within a day. And that is of the mayor of Ottawa.
This is not international news.
It's
seriously?
International news. And it's all these writers out in London and you know, New York who see it pop up and like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
With no local context. So the mayor of Ottawa, Jim Watson, very much a career politician. He's been a member of the provincial parliament in Ontario. He's been a city councillor. He's been the mayor for 2 terms now. I think he's either on his second or going into his third. I forget which one it is. Long-time political actor in the Ottawa and Toronto scene.
Yeah.
And he has written an op-ed in the Ottawa Citizen coming out of the closet.
Okay.
And he notes, you know, it's been 40 odd years that he, since he realized that maybe he's gay.
Yeah.
And hasn't come out. But this is like Elton John announcing that he's gay.
Yeah. So, you know, for as long as we have been on the air, through all our instances, we have been making jokes about a local politician, to be unnamed, who is gay and everybody knows, but we're not allowed to talk about it. We've been talking about Jim Watson the entire time because Jim Watson being gay is the most well-known secret in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. And finally, we get to talk about it. But it's, I mean, this kind of does lead into another conversation about the media respecting the closet, mm-hmm. which the Advocate on multiple times have said that they refused to publish the story because they didn't want to out somebody, even though the story was very juicy. But this is, I don't know, like for us in the Ottawa context, this is totally a non-story.
And do you know what's hilarious, which is why I want to mention it now, is because the reaction to it has been a lot of people like, you know, good on you, Jim, for coming for, and let's not downplay this.
Yeah.
It is a massive personal decision to come out.
Yes.
And as a political actor, the impact on his constituents, the impact on his and his role in public life, these are all things which would have been swirling about. We've reached out to Jim for an interview on the topic to see what inspired him to come out and what maybe inspired him not to come out earlier.
Right.
But the initial reaction from constituents in Ottawa is, okay, cool, but what about the light rail transit system
yeah.
you promised? Because it just so happens that his op-ed came out the day of
an announcement,
a that missed deadline for the light rail
yeah,
transit.
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be out next week, and to be honest, the writing was on the wall. It's going to be a few days
away. The rail was open 4 years ago.
It's 400 days late, I think.
Of one deadline. Because originally, the original opening date, it was supposed to launch on the 175th Jubilee of Canada.
On track 2018 was the day when we're all supposed to be on the rail.
I remember betting people $50 it would not open on time. And people were like, no, it's Ottawa. I don't know. I'm going to put money on that. No, it's Ottawa. You should put money against it.
Mm. But I think that really speaks to the time we live in. You know,
major, I have been.
Quite prominent politician comes out and people are like, okay, cool. But what about that deadline on our subway?
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Well, I mean, that's very much a Canadian thing, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are places in the world where it is still very dangerous. Actually, there's a Discord that I'm on. So Discord just being like a public chat service. And there's a kid from Algeria that I chat with now and then, and he is incredulous when I tell him about, like, yeah, we have openly gay politicians and we do this and that. And if Rick is listening, hello, Algeria. But actually, this leads into podcasting mm-hmm. about people listening to us from around the world. I recently finally downloaded Podbean onto my phone, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, there's a lot of podcast platforms out there. I find this one to be really plug and play. It's covered in ads, but it's an audio thing. So the fact that my phone is covered in ads, I turn it, press play and put it on the desk and listen. But I now get announcements, so I know if we have published on time. there's other podcasts. So we've had Bradley Turcotte on our show and we've been on Bradley's show. And
yeah,
now I get push notifications.
Questions and Cocktails.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll be at the live recording of that at like nearly midnight on Saturday. So if you follow Queer's Questions and Cocktails, you'll hear us.
But we are running out of time.
We did. We actually have run out of time. We're playing out by with an artist, Lush, with Le Metalat.
Oh, my God.
Show it to him. It's a French word. Le Metalat.
I can't read your handwriting.
I feel like it's the metals. It would be.
It looks like Le Metalat, but
that's what I said.
Well,
sorry, I didn't say it with a French accent.
No, but
Le
Metalat. I'm saying it looks like, because you spelled it wrong, if it is Metalat.
I wrote it down how it's written on the thing.
Okay, well then, I don't know what that word
anyway,
is.
Anyway, this is Lush with possibly Le Metalat, and we'll be back next week. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thanks for listening.
Téléphone a sonné ta voix. A tout gâché, tu m'as demandé comment ça va, j'ai dit. Comme si comme ça, je guéris lentement depuis que t'as sacré quand de ton bord. Ça rock fort, tu te couches trop tard, tu te lèves trop tôt. Puis t'as toujours mal au dos. Qu'est-ce que je peux faire pour toi, je devine. Ne le dis pas, tu ne veux plus de moi. Mais tu t'ennuies du matelas. Garder. Tu m'as juste laissé ma détresse, puis t'es parti avec le reste. Mon appartement est vide et j'ai le cas figé. Toi tu flirtes avec d'autres gars pour tester la malheur. Péter ma coche, j'aurais jeté les roches par téléphone, c'était compliqué. J'ai préféré raccrocher, j'ai pris des ciseaux pour te découper de nos photos. Et au milieu de mon élan, j'ai détruit le matelas blanc, étendu sur les restants, les ressorts bien dans mon flanc. J'ai pleuré à gros sanglots. Ma journée était à l'eau. J't'ai ramassé à petite cuillère. Un régime de peine et de misère. La gueule de bois, le cœur éclaté. Deux aspirines pour déjeuner. My heart is split and I can't get over it. My heart is split and I can't get over it. My heart is split.